This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer. We very much appreciate his help and hard work. He's going to be fabulouser even more next week. I get to take a couple of days off, so Rob does extra work when I'm on vacation, so I appreciate that. Thank you so much in advance, Mr. Rob Center. In the studio with us now, Brian C. Johnson is back. He's a local author. We know him as one of the ministry leaders up at RevTab. He's an educator. There's students at Luzerne and Lackawanna colleges that can look up and say, oh, Professor Brian Johnson, Dr. Johnson is in. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I do appreciate you. We've seen you involved in leadership and multicultural activities and teaching at Bloomsburg University and Susquehanna University, now Luzerne and Lackawanna colleges, mm-hmm. where you're teaching.
Yes.
But you're borderline prolific author. Your eighth book just hit newsstands. That's what we're going to talk about today, but ninth is on the way also, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it. Brian Johnson, I have you down as a Milton resident?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right. Judah First, The Erased Life of an Enslaved Soul, historical fiction. So this was not your first fiction book, but your first historical fiction?
Yes, I never imagined writing historical fiction, but this story just intrigued me so deeply.
Well, tell me about this. Now, you have always really talked about diversity and multiculturalism as an aspect, and now we're going to reach back into our history. I think people in the U.S. like to say, okay, we know we had slavery. We certainly know that that's bad, but you dig into that and say, okay, here's the drama that unfolded for one individual.
Yes. Send Judah First is the story of a woman, a real-life woman named Judah, who was the enslaved cook at Belgrove Plantation in Middletown, Virginia.
Which is 100% real. That much is real.
Yep.
It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. It's still active. And it's an educational farm at this point.
All right, so Judah is a young girl in Africa. And what happens?
Well, we begin the story in Africa. We don't have enough information at this point to know where Judah came from. Was she born in the United States? Was she born in Africa? We're not sure. And I took students from Bloomsburg University to Belgrove in 2016 for a Living History Weekend. And while we were there, the National Park Service ranger was there on site giving, you know, an interpretive workshop titled Kneading, K-N-E-A-D, Kneading in Silence, The Life of Judah the Enslaved Cook. And I was so taken in by her story. And sitting in that kitchen where Judah would have served her time, I was just blown away. And I was sitting, because I like to cook, and I only imagine what that would be like, having to cook for the entire plantation. There were 207, at the highest, there were 276 enslaved people there, plus the family of the master. So she had to cook three meals a day for all those folks.
And what kind of a plantation is this?
I think they did tobacco and wheat.
Okay, so, and of course, 200 some enslaved individuals, and how many staff and family members?
The Heights were the owners of the plantation, the masters, if you will, and some total they had something like 8 or 10 children.
Okay, so the hundreds of people take good care of this plantation and the family. And this story, and this is where the real brilliance is. Of course, you take that which we know through history and through documentation, but you weave into it not just random facts that you make up, but sort of historical allegory that equated to other individuals' lives, the things you describe. If they didn't happen to Judah, they definitely happened to other people.
Right.
You write this brilliant story that unfolds about her life. Tell me about that.
The story that I have crafted, and I do want to just pause for a second and say thank you to Kristen Lays, who is the executive director of Belgrove, who was incredibly impactful in my experience writing this story. I told her the day we were there, I said, I think I want to write Judith's story as a novel. And she was all for it. And she has been extremely instrumental in getting this story out. Very supportive. They have, for the last several years, they have been doing an archaeological dig on the campus of the plantation where they're excavating on the former slave quarters site. So they're, whatever the archaeologists have found, they've shared with me. They've opened up the heights records to me, so I have had a lot of information to build the story from. In my story, one of the reasons why I wrote this story is the way people say, you know, we don't know enough information. You know, we don't know what the daily life, what was the humdrum of everyday life. You know, we have media, movie visions of what life was like, but I wanted to sort of take an everyday look of what the life was like for an enslaved woman. Judah, in my story, was a teenager when she was kidnapped from Africa, and then through the passage of time, she was at Belgrove 20 plus years, and so I sort of crafted this story from enslavement through her death.
And send Judah first, the erased life of an enslaved soul. Why the erased life? Why that title?
Because we don't know. You know, so much. I think the weird thing is when we call someone, when we slap the label slave on a person, it's easy to wash them away. It's easy to wipe them out of our history. And the most impactful thing for me, when I took those students to Belgrove and Shannon Moak, who was the National Park Service Ranger, was giving her presentation. She said something that pierced my soul. She said there are only two documents in existence today that proved Judah ever lived. And I almost cried at that moment, because it was, for me, life is about living for significance. I don't want to be forgotten. I want people to remember my life and remember that I made a difference in theirs. And I could only imagine serving for 20 plus years, you know, in forced servitude, only to be written out of history, only to be forgotten.
And you don't know what happened to her in the end, sort of the end of her life?
Sadly, we do know, one of the documents that we found that is in existence today is a letter from Mrs. Height to one of her friends after Judah's death. Judah died in 1836. And in that letter, Mrs. Height is sort of not complaining, but she's mentioning how sad she is and how much her life has changed because her cook has died. We have learned that the enslaved cook was sort of the epicenter of the home. So Judah would have been pretty important to life on that plantation.
Okay, so she was a decider of things that happened and was involved in that. Did you ever think about what if or other tangents in this? Since you do get to do some fiction, did you ever think, okay, well, what if she escapes? Or what if she were born 40 years later? What if? Do you do that while you're doing this?
Oh, absolutely. I had a whole lot of what ifs in my head. But I didn't want to create a sensationalized version of the slavery story. We have already seen that in 12 Years a Slave. We've seen that in Roots. I battled internally with the ghost of Alex Haley, honestly, as I wrote this book. I didn't want to write another Roots. Roots is an amazing, amazing book in itself. The miniseries was life change for me in elementary school. But I didn't want to write another Roots. I wanted to create a standalone piece of literature that could stand within among the pantheon of slave literature.
So you're a couple of years ago, you're at Belgrove for the first time.
Yep.
You're hearing about Judah, and there's some historical accuracy to this and some dramatic portrayal part of this. Describe that feeling when you realize that you didn't have a choice. You had to, this story welled up in you from the go. Describe that.
I think, you might think me weird, honestly. There were times where I believe Judah actually spoke to me. And I know that sounds incredibly creepy, but I know my writer friends will understand that. Judah wouldn't let me sleep at times. There were times when I was writing this book where I would wake up in the middle of the night and I had to tell Judah to shut up because I was really wanting to get some sleep. But she kept downloading her story to me. She wanted it to be told, and I wanted to tell it.
Yeah, she's like, you can sleep later,
but yeah.
You're on deadline. You know, you only have 50 years left in your life, so you've got to get this story down. Where does this go from here? I don't mind saying that this reads like a screenplay almost already.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know me. My whole life is about movies. You know, my research is about movies and all. So I dreamed this as a movie at one point. I hope if there's anybody out there that's a filmmaker, you want to get in touch. Let's talk. I would love for this to be an actual film. I don't know where it goes from here.
Some of your other books, a teacher's source book, Real Diversity, as in R-E-E-L, dealing with films and how they portray minorities and individuals of color and so on. We've seen it all before, S-C-E-E-N-E. We've seen it all before, using film clicks in diversity awareness training. Real Big Bullies, as in, of course, again, Real, R-E-E-L, and so on. And you also wrote The Room Downstairs, which is fiction. Just pure fiction, modern-day fiction. Tell me about The Room Downstairs, if people aren't familiar with that one.
The Room Downstairs is a story, again, centered around issues of diversity, which is what I always do. And it's the story of a young woman who many people believe is gay. And so she is imprisoned in a basement, The Room Downstairs, for a period of time. So Over the course of time, a young family moves into the home where she has been imprisoned, and they don't know she's in the basement. And they have a son who is allergic to the sun, and they build him a playroom down in the basement. And he comes along, and he's growing up, and he tells his parents about his friend named, the girl's name was Sam. He tells his mom, his parents, about his friend in the basement named Sam.
It's all coming back to me. Well, we're just about out of time. I'm going to have to stop you there, but The Room Downstairs is a good read also. You were kind enough to give me a copy of that back in the day, so I appreciate that. Send Judah First, The Erased Life of an Enslaved Soul. You have a book signing coming up.
Yes, this Tuesday, September 10th, I will be at Barnes & Noble at Bucknell in Lewisburg at 7 to 9 p.m. I will be doing a reading, and I'll be signing books.
This Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m., Barnes & Noble in Lewisburg. Well, I hope you get a lot of takers lined up to see Send Judah First, The Erased Life of an Enslaved Soul, in person, and to see Brian C. Johnson in person. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.